He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed. And the topic I want to start out with on today's show is the one that I will title A Coming Onslaught of Electric Vehicles, because we have been talking about electric vehicles on many shows to date, and we will continue to talk about them as more come along. But what's happening soon to, well, soon is relative, probably within the next 12 months or earlier, is going to be the Volkswagen Corporation Group having their dealerships, the VW dealerships, get the ID4, which is going to be the first all-electric U.S. vehicle from VW, coming to their dealerships. And I think it's going to be something that the American public is going to embrace more quickly for electric vehicle consideration than they have thus far, because most of the talk thus far has been surrounding Tesla, and then a few of the exotic nameplates such as Porsche, Jaguar, BMW, and Mercedes, which is great for the electric vehicle movement, but tough for the American public to, as I see it, to embrace, because those are exotic nameplates that connote more expensive vehicles than many of us could afford to buy, even if we wanted to. As we have discussed in the past shows, Tesla starts out with a line at a base price of around, well, I don't know if it's come down below, and this is before tax credits, which may not affect many people, but around $50,000, maybe a few thousand less in certain cases. This is for new vehicles before you start adding on options. And Chevrolet has been the only manufacturer that I can think of significance that's offered a electric vehicle for less than that, and that is in the form of the Bolt, B-O-L-L-T, B-O-L-T versus V as in Victor, O-L-T, which was a sort of a hybrid electric of some design that had a gasoline motor which didn't actually drive the wheels but drove a generator that kept the batteries charged so that the batteries could charge the Volt, drive the Volt. The Bolt, actually, as Jay and I have discussed in past shows, is actually a pretty interesting vehicle, and I test drove one at one point that was listed at, I think, in right around $40,000, and with year-end spiffs, as we are known to have offered to us at the end of model years, I could have purchased this particular one for probably around $29,000 to $30,000, which I did not do because I decided I couldn't do it.
No, can I just interject for 1 second? Didn't you end up getting a Jeep or something instead?
Well, it had nothing to do with a Jeep competing with a Bolt. It was just it was more a question of. I didn't have anything I wanted to trade in on it, but I decided that I wasn't ready to add that to my fleet of vehicles. For long-time listeners know that it suggested I have several vehicles, and I do.
Right, and that's
but
why...
But the Bolt was very interesting as a driver's car. And it, at that point, I believe the model I drove had a vehicle range before you needed to think about recharging of between 200 and 230 miles. Which was, in my opinion, for the Bolt, had I bought it, would have been fine for driving around our northwest corner and for doing real estate and stuff that didn't involve taking a long-distance trip to beyond, you know, a Boston-New York type of round-trip situation, although I'm not sure I could have gotten a round-trip from Boston. But now what's happening with these new vehicles is there's a race to get range way up there. And way up there is now going to go beyond 300 miles, which several Tesla models can do, into the 400 to 600 mile range. And there is not an affordable one, but a Tesla competitor about to unveil one, I think, available in 2021, called, I think it's the Lucid. And it is going to claim a miles per gallon capability of, I think, 460 miles to maybe even 500 miles, depending on the size of battery that pack that you can order with these electric vehicles. And that is the kind of option that you get with the Tesla and the Lucid to be, and maybe the American ones, and maybe the Volkswagen ones, but I'm not sure yet as far as that goes. But 400 to 500 miles is now really talking functionally usable range for long-distance travel as well as just around town. And Tesla apparently has a vehicle model, a Tesla S model, I believe it is, with a range of 406 miles before charging is needed in ideal conditions. So you can see the manufacturers that have been out for a while. Lucid is not out. Lucid is, I note that Lucid is has had engineering people at its helm or helping them launch its vehicle that used to work at Tesla. And, of course, that, to me, is, I don't like that kind of thing because Tesla got the benefit of these personnel in the beginning and were way ahead, and then somebody decided to hire them away from Tesla for probably more money than Tesla should have been willing to pay to keep them on. And so that technology is jumping to the other manufacturers more quickly than it was when it was being developed from scratch, with Tesla being the main leader in that department. But for the American public, when Volkswagen gets a electric vehicle there, I think there's going to be a real marketing arm behind the vehicle, and it's going to be much more readily visible to the general American public. And I think as long as they can keep it at under $40,000, and I don't know, I'm not sure that's going to be true. I'm sure it'll go over that. It would be better in the mid-30s. That may well bring people to realize that this is something that they could actually get their minds around, as well as their wallets, hopefully, and actually add, you know, buy that as an alternative car to a gasoline vehicle. And we're talking to people that probably about people or but users that won't be driving over 300 miles in a day for 95% of their use of such a vehicle. And in that case, if the VW vehicle will go 300 miles, and I think it should, VW should be trying to make that a standard feature of it, and I'm not sure that's going to happen, it will be something that, you know, the average American consumer who can spend in the 30s for cars, and as we've talked, the average, I believe, new car price now is in the mid-30s, climbing towards 40, probably.
But what about leasing? And the reason that I interject...
Well, leasing is always a good option. And I have coming up to, and I'll jump to my current lease of my white Cherokee. I'm going to have to face that in June. Now, I keep seeing when you read the fine print that you're supposed to have pre-negotiated the purchase price at the end of a lease. And the leasing, as we have discussed, is a very economically feasible way to own a nice vehicle. It is far less than the monthly cost of purchasing a car at $40,000. And as I've said on this show, all the consumer who listens to this kind of thing has to do to figure out what that monthly cost would be for a 5-year to a 6-year to a 7-year lease is to divide, before interest is added to these payments, is to divide the number of months by the end of the cost of the car.
Do people offer leases that are that long, or are you talking about payments?
Oh, leases are going up to 4 years, but the standard advertised lease is generally 3 years.
Right.
And the mileage in there ranges from under 1,000 miles a month to around 1,000 miles a month before you have to think about buying more mileage.
Which I will just add that when we leased one of the VWs for the station, we just did, and there was never a problem. You know, it was just, and well, ended up, P.S., buying that car off lease. But that's a different story.
That is a different story, and I did not pre-negotiate a purchase price for my Jeep, and I do not know what's going to happen if I wanted to try to decide to buy this particular model come June of 2021. But I want to go back and finish on the electric vehicle thing, and then we can discuss this maybe further in the show. I think electric cars. I've been talking to some Tesla owners who have owned their cars for at least 2 years or longer now, and I will tell you, and this will go for all electric vehicles, presumably, the fascinating thing that has really become consciously knowledgeable about electric car ownership is that there is virtually no maintenance required on a regular basis for electric vehicles. And that is a very interestingly appealing thing for somebody to get their mind around if listeners are listening. A woman I talked to recently who's had her Tesla for 30,000 miles has had no maintenance, zero maintenance needs or problems with that car. And we discuss things like brakes. She says, you don't use the brakes on a Tesla because it brakes with a computer program that apparently deals with the charging, recharging factor of or capability of these vehicles as they're slowing to a stop, which apparently brakes the car as an alternative to braking. I think that's correct, but I haven't confirmed that yet. And when I drove a Tesla Model 3 some months ago, I was really amazed that you could take your foot off the pedal 500 feet or so from a stop sign, and the car would come basically to a stop with very little final braking needed by the brake pedal at every stop sign that I approached with that car. And I assumed there was some recharging going on, however little or much it might have been. But the car did not need me to put my foot on the brake pedal at all. And as far as I can tell, it wasn't using its brakes to stop. It was using some program that allows it to do that.
Okay, so I need to interject because a fascinating thing happened this weekend, and I don't know which segment of the car buying population you are talking to right now, but a kid who has been watching Tesla, since he was a teenager, and who got his dad to essentially invest in Tesla. And, of course, the stock, long before this, they got a Tesla. So, basically, the kid has grown up with a Tesla. And he lives in New York, and he just leased a car because he's a grown-up now, and he might want to leave the city from time to time. And you'll never guess what he got.
A Tesla.
No. And that's why I'm interested.
Okay.
Because he got a Cherokee.
Okay. And so, did he give you a reason?
No, I'm trying to find. I will get that for you. But the point is that this person who you would think of as Insta-Tesla, Insta-Electric.
Okay.
Heck, he's from California.
There could be a number of reasons why somebody would not lease a Tesla instead of a Cherokee or instead of any other.
Can you lease a Tesla?
Gasoline-powered car, and that would be functional use of the vehicle.
Can you lease a Tesla?
I do not know. I've not investigated. I'm not sure new Teslas are. I have. You know, there's no advertising for Tesla.
Right, so I'm not. I have no idea.
I have not looked on a Tesla website to see if leases are possible. It's very possible that Tesla has introduced leasing on some models, such as the Model S, which is an $80,000 vehicle or up, and that's fine. But Teslas may not be readily leasable, but the alternative to that is. The functionality of many car designs goes outside and is very much more appealing than the Tesla design, which is basically a very swoopy fastback vehicle, although they have models that are now SUV type, but they still look like Tesla Model X's, which is a humpback whale look with more interior space. But I don't know the answer to your topic and your comment, but that doesn't really surprise me, I don't think, although I know other people whose kids are Tesla fanatics. If they could deal with a Tesla, they'd probably get that as opposed to a Cherokee once they got driving. But I can tell you, and you probably are aware of it if you are aware of cars coming at you, that more and more Teslas are certainly appearing around here, and there's not much else competing with them as far as I can tell in the electric car market of Tesla quality or type of vehicle. Audi has in my view, failed miserably with their e-tron attempt at sales. There may or may not be one around this corner, but they are not selling it anywhere near what Tesla sells in a month, I think, of certain models of their car any whole year, as far as Audi goes. Porsches, I do not know whether there are any Taycans that have been seen around here on the road yet in this corner, but that's an exotic make and an expensive make, and you're dealing in the $80,000 to $100,000 for one of those. So we really can't use those as competing discussion makes as far as what the general public is going to have access to until Volkswagen arrives on the scene with their, right now it's called an ID4. There's an ID3 in Europe already, and I do not know what the sales are doing, but I think we talked on a couple of shows ago that Elon Musk was over at an introduction, VW introduction for the ID4, I think, and was invited to drive the car. Very little comment. I saw very little comment in public reports on this encounter from Tesla about his opinion of it. He's very egotistically oriented towards the Tesla and has a right to be, I should say, even though I don't like this feeling that he has, because he is doing very well with Tesla, and I applaud him for that. But back to the person who owns Tesla, people who own Teslas, they don't have, as we have said, there are no oil changes. You don't have to, you should rotate the tires every 10,000 miles or so, but there are no oil changes. There's no gasoline engine problems that can develop. You've got electric motors running the drivetrains or the wheels of the electric cars. And what you'll get in a problem of that, it would be a motor failure, which is basically you swap out an old broken motor for a new motor, and you're off and running again for however many thousands of miles you can do before you need some kind of other service. So apart from wearing out tires and wiper blades, maybe brake pads, and maybe they go for 100,000 miles on Tesla, but I don't know, you're really not going to have to do a whole lot short of something breaking down. During a warranty period, it'll be done free. Afterwards, it's probably, considering you're not paying for any other maintenance, a relatively cheap problem to fix through the overall life of the vehicle. And Jay has said on this show, and he's not here today for those who are wondering why they haven't heard him yet, that there are Teslas out in California, which is the market where they are getting most of use, and they're all over the place out there, with apparently 400,000 miles on them that are still running along fine. And as we said a week ago, Tesla, the marketing firms who watch resale values of vehicles, came out with a statement that the Tesla used 3-year-old Tesla. And they didn't use mileage averages, but it could have been anywhere from 30 to 60,000 miles maybe, retain approximately 90% of their value when they're put on the market used. That's what they're able to get from people who go out and buy used Tesla. And that's an extraordinary value retention level compared to gasoline vehicles, which are most often below 50% of their value, retained value, after 3 years of ownership. And that's what I'll come back to my Jeep bit, because I'm going to be wondering what I will be able to buy my 19 Cherokee, which is coming up for renewal or termination, or not renewal, but purchase option or termination in June of 21, whether or not it'll be appealing enough for me to want to try to purchase it under a finance program or just let it go. I don't really need to replace it. But I like this vehicle so much. I have touted the wonders of the 4-cylinder turbo engine option you can get in a Cherokee, for the listeners who have heard this before. And it is by far the best engine, in my opinion, that the Cherokee has going for it in terms of sparkling performance. I will use that word, sparkling, as opposed to something else, combined with excellent mileage. If you pay attention to how you drive vehicles to try to get the maximum amount of mileage you can out of it, it's without a hard time doing it. And yesterday, it doesn't matter what yesterday is on this show, I started my mileage at my house in Sharon, Connecticut, where I live. And I went to Brookfield, Connecticut, and I arrived at Brookfield not driving aggressively with my average mile per gallon reading at 44.5, which is an absolute record for this vehicle, which now has 27,000 miles on it. Now, that was probably an average speed of 45 miles an hour between Sharon and Brookfield, Connecticut, and that's 32 miles. And I'm not going to achieve that ever again, maybe, unless I do the same thing. But it was just this, I'm getting between 30 and 35 miles per gallon with that engine per tank full on the average in the summertime, which for a Jeep, any model, is wonders. Plus, the performance of the engine is terrific. So, but 44 miles a gallon happens to exceed the miles per gallon that I get in my Hyundai Hybrid.
Well, that's your oldest one, right?
What, the hybrid?
Your Hyundai?
Well, that's the oldest hybrid vehicle I have. It's the only hybrid vehicle I have.
The only point I might be attempting to make is that something that your co-host often says is that the newer the car, the more recent the model, the more efficient in whatever its department.
Well, the new Hyundai Hybrid Sonata level is supposed to get as high as, I believe, 48 to 50 miles per gallon at one, whether it's a city, highway, or mid-rating, I'm not sure. I have yet to go drive one. But the Toyota Camry has been the main competitor to the Sonata Hybrid. And the Camry Hybrid is also now, the newest models are up in the mid to high 40s for a hybrid-type vehicle. Of a sedan the size of the Camry Hybrid and the Sonata Hybrid, which is a mid-size sedan, I believe. And they are sedans that are very comfortable for five people. We have touted, or at least I have said, that the hybrid vehicles are my choice for type of a hybrid electric type of vehicle for a long-distance driving because you don't have to do anything other than change oil in it, and it's self-charging on coast downs and it gives you a very high mileage rating if it's accurate, if the ratings are accurate when driven, for being able to go a long range on a tank full of fuel. As long as they give you a tank that holds a reasonable amount of gallons. And I have noted that the higher the MPG averages of hybrid cars that go, or the smaller ones, the smaller the tanks seem to get. So you don't really get an excessively greater miles per tank full in some of these hybrid vehicles because tanks have shrunk in size, mostly probably to fit batteries and other things and to give you trunk room, certainly in the smaller models of the hybrids that are coming out. Toyota is the current manufacturer that has the most complete lineup of hybrid available vehicles anybody can buy, from the Corolla to the Camry to, I believe, I want to say Vienna. It's not the right model, but there's another model that has it. Plus, the RAV4 is now available in numbers, numerically higher numbers, as a hybrid, and it is an SUV type of vehicle with all-wheel drive. And I believe the current model RAV4s are getting in the high 30s to low 40s in some ways of driving that vehicle, which for a hybrid SUV, which is not particularly wind slippery for aerodynamic efficiency, an excellent miles per gallon capability for an SUV type of vehicle of the Toyota RAV4 size. So we've talked an awful lot about what I thought I was going to finish in 10 minutes. I want to go to a safety. What is our? How much time do we have left?
None.
A couple of minutes?
None. Nope.
Okay.
So I'm going to say
some civil use of turn signals and emergency signals by drivers who are listening to this. It is a problem that it seems to be growing rather than diminishing, people's not using their turn signals early enough before they're going to make a turn. And do not use flashers when they're parked on the side of the road using their cell phones. And anything that gives oncoming traffic a higher visibility of what traffic's going to do, it would be a very nice thing for drivers to offer to the people driving while they're sitting.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.